You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. It is 6:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us on Daybreak on the Civic Media Network. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. We're glad you're here. If you want to get involved in the show, we'd love to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Another big day, chock full of things to talk about. Let's start. This is a big weekend as far as the Epstein files go. Big 2 days, I guess. Today is Thursday, tomorrow Friday. That's how the days of the week work. Thank you. I'm starting out slow with our facts
Could
today.
Good, we could clear that up right away in the morning.
Listen, just in case people a little groggy. I know all week, for some reason all week, I have not known what day it was.
I've been
even
a day
worse
off
than
all week.
Last week when we had Monday off. Yeah. It wasn't as bad as this week. I'm like, wait, hold on, what day is it? Is it garbage day? Is it it's Thursday. So today in the Epstein file saga, Hillary Clinton is going to testify.
Yeah.
She will give her a deposition today. And then tomorrow, Bill Clinton will give his deposition. And those are not the only big, the Epstein, it should be a big story every day, and to a lot of people it is. But there's so much tsunami of misinformation and stories
right.
and things and outrage. There's too much.
There is
our little brains.
Literally too much to comprehend. Now, when it comes to the Clintons, the sessions for the House Oversight Committee, because those negotiations have finally come to an end, and this is what they've settled on. The sessions will take place near their home in New York. They'll be transcribed. They'll be filmed. Republicans say the goal is transparency and accountability for the victims. Is it, though? Is it really for you?
No. No, if it were transparency, it would be in an open open hearing.
Televised
mm-hmm. and we would all be able to watch it in real time, not count on, well, we see how they love to redact, how the DOJ loves to redact
right.
documents. I can only imagine the hatchet that will go into editing the depositions of the Clintons.
I think this one's going to be interesting because that's just it. I mean, even if it's videotaped, are we ever going to know the full scope of what they actually said because of how the Republicans in this case have basically, as you mentioned, redacted, covered up, not put out all of the correct information. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we'll ever actually see what the Clintons said. And this all stems from, of course, Bill Clinton showing up in those Epstein files multiple times. Not as much as the president, mind you.
No.
President of the United States, current, but he does show up in the files. This is theater.
I will say, it is theater, but you've got two smart people
mm-hmm.
going in to this hearing and going into this deposition. And I'm sure between the Clintons and their attorneys, they have gone over every possible move and swerve and everything that they can do to make sure, because their goal is for everything to be opened in the files. They want to go in because Bill Clinton, he hasn't been accused of any wrongdoing, and he claims that he has not done anything wrong, even though he is in their hundreds of times,
right.
it mentions in the files, and so is Hillary, but those are mostly emails from when she was running for president
those
that were
damn
sent to
emails.
Epstein.
Her damn emails.
Right. But she didn't send them. Other people
right.
sent clips to Epstein. So, you know, they know what's in there. Their goal is to get them out, and I'm sure I'm guessing they're smarter than the people who are going to be asking them questions.
I'm guessing so as well. And again, these are two powerful people who have, I'm sure, very good attorneys also on their side. John, chiming in over on our Facebook page this morning, says, hopefully the Clintons will be taping it also. I'm going to assume that there's probably some sort of provision in there. Maybe they're going to call for the release of the tapes. I don't know. I don't. The depositions are just the, I think, the start of what we're going to see from the Clintons. I'm going to assume that there's going to be more out of their depositions as the next few days and weeks roll on. That's my assumption.
But you also,
anyway.
You can also assume that the Clintons will not be shy about talking about what went on in there. And if anything comes out from the other side that is not accurate, it's out of context, whatever it is, they will not hesitate to make sure that, the record is set straight. And again, for all the, if we've got some folks listening that are like, well, are you afraid that he's going to go? Nope. If he's found guilty of any wrongdoing like that, he's got to go too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got to be arrested and go to jail. I don't care who. This is the weak sauce argument that a lot on the right use. Oh, are you sure you want to find out who's in there? Yep.
Yes.
I sure do.
I do.
I want to find out.
I mean, I don't care if it's public figures. I don't care if it's politicians. I don't care if it crosses the party lines. Anybody connected to this, if they actually did anything wrong and aren't just named in the files, because let's be real, Jeffrey Epstein had ties all over the globe.
Right.
But if they actually did something wrong, then yes, they deserve to be prosecuted. And that transcends party lines, or at least it should. It should
transcend everything
to
basic human dignity. And to be honest, if you're arguing on either side to protect someone who is accused and charged with any crimes against not only, children first and foremost, but any of the others, if you defend that, you're a scumbag. I'm sorry.
No, you are.
You're as bad as the person who committed these crimes.
Absolutely.
So now that that's out of the way, this is going to be interesting. By the time we come back on Monday, both of the Clintons will have done their depositions. There will be information coming out. That will be exciting to talk about. But they are not the only ones. The Epstein files go to the Ivy League too, Jamie. I couldn't get into Harvard, but the Epstein files have reached Harvard.
Well, I don't know if they've reached Harvard, but several people connected in the Ivy League schools have reached that level. Larry Summers, who is the former U.S. Treasury Secretary, is going to retire from the Harvard Institution at the end of this academic year. You notice it's not right away. As the university reviews his ties to Jeffrey Epstein. Now, he's been on leave since November. Newly released files, though, show that his name appears hundreds of times, detailing years of contact between Summers and Epstein, including visits and email exchanges. Now, he previously called this relationship a major error in judgment. Oh, you don't say, that Ivy League education.
Listen, I don't speak East Coast elitist, but I'm going to say that means got caught.
Right.
So if we translate it into the common language, the language of you and I.
Yes. Now, Harvard is saying it's reviewing individuals named in the Epstein document. Summers was also banned for life from the American Economic Association over the ties. He stepped down from OpenAI's board. His resignation follows that of Nobel Prize winner Richard Axel, who also stepped down from a leadership role at Columbia University after Epstein connections surfaced in these newly released files. If Larry Summers is stepping down, fine. But here's what I'm going to point out. If you zoom out for a second, how many of these powerful people are directly connected to Donald Trump that keep popping up in these files? Think about that for a minute. It's not just the president. There's presidents, there's billionaires, there's academics, there's political insiders. And one by one, especially in the European countries, they're quietly starting to step aside. Or if you're the former Prince Andrew, you just get arrested. And it's not as quiet. But you have to think about the people and the ties that we're starting to see as we find out more from the Epstein files.
And if you are prone to conspiracy theories, which I try not to be, but sometimes you are, piggybacking on what you just said, all right, does that have anything to do with who is in the cabinet now, or who was appointed before? Was there influence and pressure to put somebody in and they, well, it could go wild. This is how people get crazy.
Let's talk about that for just a second, because Pam Bondi has a pretty sordid history with Jeffrey Epstein and the president. Now, to be clear, she was not the Florida attorney general when Epstein's controversial 2007-2008 plea deal was negotiated. That was handled by federal prosecutors. She didn't take office until 2011. By then, Epstein had already served that sentence. Florida's attorney general doesn't directly prosecute most criminal cases. That's handled by local state's attorneys.
Sure.
So there's no court finding that Bondi interfered. But there are political overlaps, because in 2013, a PAC supporting Bondi, if you remember, back to your history, that PAC received a $25,000 donation from the Trump Foundation about the time that her office decided not to join that lawsuit against Trump University. The Trump Foundation later paid a penalty over the donation. There was no legal authority, though, that said that there was any quid pro quo involved in that. And then about 2016 is when Bondi became a very vocal Donald Trump supporter.
When does coincidence turn into, oh, this is not just a coincidence, this is actually fact, there is meat on this bone,
right?
And again, I'm always cautious about diving into
this, of course,
because the facts do line up, and it becomes, at some point, it's too hard to ignore,
right,
all these coincidences just lining up one after another. But yeah, then, well, and it's also hard not to say, well, if you're the attorney general, does there always have to be documentation if you exerted
right.
some pressure on your
right.
state's attorney? Is that just a conversation you have in the hallway? Is that a mention? You don't do it on text, you don't do it on the phone, but you bump into each other while you're getting a cup of coffee and things like that.
What I think it shows with Bondi is that she has been an attack dog and for Donald Trump for quite some time now.
Mm-hmm.
10 years. She's essentially, she was even on his first term impeachment defense team. So she's been an attack dog for the president, which also leads me to believe, and this is just my opinion, that she does know how to basically cover things up potentially for this president and to make things go in a way that that most appeases him. I mean, if that's how we want to put it, because we don't know what's all happening behind the scenes. And, you know, so that's where my mind starts to go. This isn't over, though, because there's more reporting that came out
on these
Epstein
files. There's a lot going
on.
Yeah. And
it's
we could talk about that for 3 hours.
It's insane, because the NPR is reporting that the Justice Department may not have released all the Epstein-related documents that reference
Shocker.
Allegations against the former president, Donald Trump, or I should say the current president, Donald Trump.
You're
wishful
projecting.
Thinking.
You're wishing. Yeah,
wishful
I was like,
thinking.
Easy.
According to the investigation.
I overslept. Wow. What day is it? What year is it?
Exactly. More than 50 pages of FBI interview records appear to be cataloged in Justice Department logs. They're not publicly available in an online database. One of the files involves a woman who told the FBI that when she was about 13, Jeffrey Epstein introduced her to the current president, I'll get my facts straight, in the early 80s, and that she was sexually abused. FBI records show agents interviewed her multiple times. None of those interviews are actually public. There was a second woman who later testified in the criminal case against Ghislaine Maxwell. She told investigators she met Trump at Mar-a-Lago while she was a minor being abused by Epstein. The Justice Department, this is where it gets interesting, says that there are absolutely no records that were withheld for political reasons and that any unpublished documents are privileged, duplicates, or tied to ongoing investigations.
That sounds fishy, because the New York Times also published a report,
yes.
a review that found that key FBI memos related to a woman who accused both Epstein and Trump of sexual assault, those are missing from the Justice Department's public document release. She came forward, this woman, in 2019 after Epstein was arrested. She alleged that she was assaulted in the 80s when she was also a minor. You know, a lot of things missing, Jamie. Again,
yeah.
the redaction, whether just by pen or by physical omission, continues, and
so many questions.
This is not going away, despite what the president wants.
No, even if you don't talk about it in your State of the Union, it's not going away.
It's
6:19 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Wisconsin joins a lawsuit against the CDC. We'll talk about that and more. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wisconsin Wakes Up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 6:22 right now. We hope that your morning is off to a great start. If you are in Appleton and Oshkosh listening on WISS or in Eau Claire listening on 93.5 The Tap, thank you so much for having us on, along with all of the other stations across the state of Wisconsin.
Yes, I was waiting for you to say your name. I'm like Pavlov's dog. I don't start speaking till I hear Martinson. And then I go, it's my turn.
These new intros are great. Thank you so much, Producer Frank, but they say our name, so then it gets weird because we're like, do we say our name again? We are just trained monkeys, people.
Right, and this is our, we're getting used to it. But anyway, good morning. What do you think about the new vaccine schedule that the CDC has released? If you want to get involved in a little, who doesn't love a good vaccine talk? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Because there was a change, and Wisconsin now is joining a multi-state lawsuit. Boy, Josh Hall is—he's getting in on all of these lawsuits.
He is,
I don't. I'm glad. I'm happy he's doing it. But the lawsuit challenges major changes to the federal childhood vaccine schedule that the Trump administration just unleashed. The lawsuit was just filed February 24th in California. It names Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kidd. I don't know why you're coming after me. I'm all about, did you see me with Kid Rock? I don't
want to. Just go get some more tight jeans. It's fine.
And the CDC acting director, Jay, long last name that I can't pronounce. Bhattacharya. Yep. As defendants. So Bhattacharya. I still am amazed that there are so many people who, since the big autism outcry years ago, that vaccines caused autism, which, for the record, they do not. There have been countless scientific studies that show no correlation between vaccines and autism.
Right.
But that started the whole everybody doing their own research, everybody coming up with a theory. And it came to a head with COVID, where the vaccine, we don't tell us what to put in our bodies. And Jamie, you're old enough, and I am definitely old enough to remember, that's what you did. You got your MMR vaccines.
Right.
You had your kids vaccinated. We had our daughter vaccinated. She's perfectly healthy. I'm as healthy as I can be based on my lifestyle. So it's, there's nothing.
I mean,
I don't understand this. And then for Kennedy and the CDC to cut back.
What
just doesn't make sense.
What I find interesting about all of this is, even if you look back at the COVID days, right, people were not okay with a vaccine and having to take the shot, but they were okay with the president telling them that bleach was worked and ivermectin was a drug they should be taking. I mean, they were okay with that, but you're not going to put a needle in my arm to keep me and others around me safe. That was what I never understood.
Well, I don't know if you remember this, Jamie. Bill Gates had put trackers.
I forgot.
So there were microbes in there that were tracking us and doing everything else. And
he hasn't found me yet, so I feel safe. I've had my shots. I feel safe. And Bill Gates has not come after me yet. So
listen, and yes, just like with the flu vaccine, you can still get the flu. I got COVID.
Right.
Well, I didn't get COVID. I didn't get COVID during COVID.
Right.
I got COVID after. And yes, but I didn't get really sick because I had the vaccine.
Right.
Just like with the flu. If I happen to get the flu, it's a much less serious case. But people who wouldn't know acetaminophen from ibuprofen all of a sudden knew exactly what every vaccine held because they read some stupid thing online. They didn't vet it. And now instead of the CDC and the Health and Human Services Department saying, this is what's best for you. These are, if your children are going to school, they're required to have these vaccine injections. you know, sometimes the parents need to be in. And yes, parents need to communicate right. with their kids' doctors, but not to the point where they go, you know what, that polio vaccine, don't trust it. Don't give it to my kid. Oh, measles vaccine, we see how that's working out.
Right.
Not well. So there's a point where parents' judgment needs to be overridden to a point.
It's actually, as a parent, and obviously my kids are much older now, but as a parent, it's always a little maddening to me. And I understand people are free to make their own choices, but it's also a little maddening when kids are little germ monsters in itself. Yes. And that extends to them then being around adults who might be immune compromised, yeah. right? And so it becomes a whole, I mean, it's why disease spreads. It's why viruses spread, because this is what happens, right? In these cases.
Let's clarify something you said. Yes, people have freedom to make decisions, but the part that we leave out, or a lot of people leave out, is that freedom comes with a responsibility.
Right.
And your responsibility is that you live in a community. And if you don't get vaccinated and you don't get your kids vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
you put other people at danger. It's not just you making a choice for you, because let's be honest, you don't live in your house and never leave.
Right.
You don't have everything delivered and left on your porch. You interact with society. And we used to care about society, and we don't anymore. So yes, we have freedom. But it's just like Spider-Man said, Jamie, and you know I love to quote superheroes
yes,
when
yes.
I'm making a serious point. With great power comes great responsibility.
Yes.
With freedom comes that responsibility as well.
With this particular lawsuit, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call calls the changes dangerous, saying they can make children sicker and strain state resources. The lawsuit actually challenges Kennedy's decision to dismiss the Federal Vaccine Advisory Committee and appoint new members. The Trump administration says that the move they're making here just brings the U.S. more in line with other countries' vaccine schedules. State officials here in Wisconsin, though, in case you're wondering, say they will continue following recommendations from the American Academy of Pediatrics. And this lawsuit in particular is asking the court to block the new vaccine schedule and invalidate the new committee appointments as well. So that is what your attorney general, by the way, if you're wondering what he's doing all day at his office, these are the types of things that he's getting involved in
to
keep all of us safer and better, right?
He is on top of things. So good for him. Yeah, that's just... And this is the argument where, yes, we like to hear from other
mm-hmm.
people. On that, there's no argument you can make.
No.
There's no sensible
no.
argument.
No.
So that one we'll pass on.
It is 6:29 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the Civic Media Network.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 6:35 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. If you want to get involved in the conversation, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. How are you doing over there? We spent the entire break trying to, like old people that we are, navigate around Facebook.
Boomers.
I know. Well, I'm... All right. This is... I am not a Luddite, just
no,
for
you
the
are
record.
Not.
I'm telling you what happened, and I have witnesses to back it up. So it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can follow us. You can follow us on Facebook at Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. Godspeed with that. You can follow us on Instagram, same place. You can go to the Civic Media website, and supposedly under shows, if you click 87 tabs and you get there, then you can follow us there too.
Just go
or
find
you can
us
just
over
listen
the, yeah,
every
website.
Day, and you can be here.
Yeah.
And that's that. But we're trying to become almost way too accessible.
We are,
to be honest.
We are, absolutely. Roger chimed in over on our text line this morning and says, did you know there used to be a statewide radio program called Daybreak that used to originate from Marshfield's WDLB from 1976 to around the mid-2000s. No,
I did not know that, Roger. And everybody who researched our name obviously did not know it either. But they're done. They're gone. We're the new Daybreak.
We are the new Daybreak. We are.
We are the new Daybreak. We are all over Wisconsin, so that's
we
good.
Are.
They're kind of keeping things the same. Jamie, yesterday we gave a shout-out to a corporation, which we don't usually do. We gave a shout out to Anthropic, which mm-hmm. is an AI company, because Pete Hegseth and his Defense Department bros had given them a warning that said, listen, if you don't give us complete control of your AI, meaning we can do whatever we want with it, in the legal sense of defending the country, then you're going to lose your government contract. And Anthropic and its CEO said, no, you can't. We're not giving you complete control. We're going to put in some guardrails because we don't agree with how this technology could be used in the future. We can see the perils if left unchecked. So we are going to keep this in line. And then, unfortunately, yesterday, completely separate from the Defense Department.
Sure it was.
I don't. Why would you doubt? This is everybody's honest, Jamie.
Of course.
No, it's very coincidental. Coincidences lining up where you go, hard to believe. But anyway, now the company founded by OpenAI exiles, people who used to work there but wanted things to be safer. They were worried about the dangers of AI, so they started their own company. Well, now they're loosening their own core safety principle, saying it's in response to competition. It has nothing to do with the Defense Department in our contract. So I retract my attaboy from Anthropic.
Well,
I gave them a hearty, full-throated attaboy yesterday.
Right.
That is retracted.
This all came in a blog post. I think they were probably hoping that nobody was paying attention if they just put it in a blog post and didn't make any sort of public statement. This is our public statement. Nobody look. But they're calling it responsible scaling policy. And earlier, that policy included those safeguards that the company would pause training more powerful AI models if their capabilities began to outpace its ability to really fully understand or even control them. That pause requirement has now been completely removed. Instead, Anthropic is introducing what it calls a frontier safety roadmap. The company says that this new framework will be more flexible and adjustable rather than binding commitments. It will set public goals and regularly publish reports, grading their own progress on risk mitigation, model capabilities, and safety planning. Now, Anthropic...
The term frontier, because what usually it precedes the word frontier?
I think
of
Star Trek. That's what
wild,
I think of.
Wild frontier. You're out on the wild frontier.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about corralling things, to use more frontier lingo, when you're talking about corralling things and keeping the AI in check, frontier is not what I want to hear.
Right. Now, Anthropic is saying that these changes the only reason they're doing this is because it reflects the reality of today's AI race. So the company originally hoped its strict safety posture would inspire a broader race to the top across the entire industry. Now they're arguing, though, in this blog post, that hasn't happened. In their view, if responsible developers slow down while competitors push forward aggressively, the outcome could actually be less safe overall. Now, remember, the policy shift is after that meeting, as you mentioned, with Hegseth at the Pentagon. Now, according to sources who were familiar with what happened in that room, Pete Hegseth gave Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei a deadline to roll back certain safeguards by Friday, so tomorrow, or risk losing a $200 million Defense Department contract. So we mentioned, obviously this is very coincidental, but it really feels like perhaps Anthropic was like, that 200 mil, that's pretty good money.
We really need that cash to keep us afloat.
Yeah.
I won't say that they bent the knee, but man,
sounds like they bent the knee. Feels like it.
Yeah, it sure does. And when you see what happens to other corporations who think they're going to get loyalty by bending the knee, they don't. I do agree with one part of their argument. I do agree if you're trying to be ethical and everybody else isn't, then you could be left behind. But
sure,
there has to be a way to balance the two. You can still keep your ethics and the soul of your company and your protections and ramp up. Because sooner or later, even if your competition, who is not keeping that same self-regulating guideline in place, they will be found out.
Right.
And as long as you haven't gone out of business or fallen so far behind that you cannot be seen as a suitable alternative, you'll be okay. And I don't know enough about the tech industry to say how. I mean, we
well,
know
obviously
how fast
we couldn't even
it changes.
Use Facebook here a few minutes ago. So no, we
stop
we,
it. Now I will. That's I will defend myself on that for till the
wasn't
day
just
I die.
You. Wasn't just you, but
it
at
wasn't
any rate,
just me. No. And you know, I think
it was
our
mostly
socials
you.
Guy.
It was mostly you.
It was not mostly.
But I think this also opens a broader question about Anthropic and these companies. Are we going to start seeing this more and more because they don't want to be targeted by this particular administration? Right. We've already seen this administration target news media. We've seen this administration target universities. And if you want to be a viable company, especially in the tech industry, you can't constantly be looking over your shoulder that this administration is going to come after you for some sort of retribution because you didn't do something they wanted you to do. Right. And so you have to think about the fact that some of these businesses may start altering how they actually operate, what their ethics are, because mm-hmm. they're literally afraid that they're going to be attacked and basically put right out of business because of this administration.
And I know the business of business is to make profit, not only for yourself, but for your shareholders. It's to drive innovation. I know all of that. But I also know that if you sell your ethics, you can't buy them back.
Right.
So if, and this, you know, usually I accuse you of being the Pollyanna one, but this is where I'm like, okay, yes, in the short term, you're going to get your $200 million, which is nothing to sneeze at. I don't discount how that mm-hmm. can change a company's fortunes. But you'll get the money in the short term. You'll get perhaps some short-term favor from either the Defense Department or the administration. But one day those people will be gone. And then you, just like everybody else who kowtowed to them, will be judged on what you did. And did you stand firm? Did you stick to your ethics? Are your new customers going to see that? Or are they going to see the company that gave in? And maybe, see, this is where I get a little downtrodden, that maybe it just doesn't matter.
Right.
And that could be where we're living now, that it doesn't matter, that ethics and standing up for what's right don't matter.
I just had this exact same conversation with a good friend yesterday, ironically. And one of the things that he said to me is he said, is it neo-fascism or is this just modern day politics? And I said, I hope this is not modern day politics because I long for the days of George Bush and Dick Cheney at this particular point in time, right? And we've talked about that on this program as well. Yes. But I actually long for the days when politics was normal. I will put that in air quotes because it's never been normal. But we are living so far out of what we actually know and understand at this point. And the pressure on these companies, the pressure on Congress or the lack thereof, I guess, if you're Mike Johnson. But we are living so far out of those norms that it feels like it does feel like the wild frontier a little bit. Right.
Well, and the thing is, the argument about AI and the debate over AI and its uses and its potential dangers and its ability to make things better should not be political.
Right.
This is something, yes, I want Congress to look into it just like they look into social media, just like they look into anything that affects the American people. But you add on this extra layer of ultimatums and pressures, and now it becomes, Am I hesitant of AI because of its connection to this administration? Am I hesitant of AI because, as you guys say, I'm a boomer who fears technology? I've used ChatGPT. You know.
I'm convinced.
But, listen, you.
He's getting a little sassy anyway, over there this morning.
No, he is sassy. Oh, he thinks he's got the upper hand. And yet when I start hate posting on him later, he's not going to feel so sparky. But the whole thing is just everything now is mixed in with politics. Everything.
Yes, it is.
We've seen it this week with hockey. Hockey, the last thing that should have been brought into
the Olympics
politics.
In general should not have been about the politics at all.
Exactly. Right, but it was from the very first events.
Yeah.
And now AI, which we have legitimate concerns about. And it shouldn't be tried based on who's in charge.
No.
It should be tried on its own merits, and it and that way the companies who do want to operate with, and they use the word soul, not me, that's their word. If they want to, they should be able to operate in a free market without having the pressure from the administration that if they don't kowtow and toe the line, they're going to be out of business.
And I think that's my biggest fear. I mean, let's be realistic. When it comes to AI, there are so many unknowns. I don't know if any of them feel, it doesn't feel like any of them are the perfect specimen of a company, right? So because I think there is so many unknowns right now. But when it comes to, you know, what we were about Anthropic, they were actually in this race with OpenAI to release enterprise AI products that were aimed at dominating the workplace market. And now there's been this pressure from the administration, and it really makes me go back and also wonder, why is Pete Hegseth, why does he want this so badly? Why is he putting so much pressure on this particular company and putting so much emphasis on AI? Because again, it goes back into trust of your administration. What does he want these tools for, and what is he going to possibly do with them over at the Department of Defense?
And also, who benefits from these companies getting government contracts?
Right.
There are so many levels to this. And listen, if you and I don't understand it, AI's complete potential, I know Pete Hegseth doesn't understand it.
No.
And when the people developing it are saying, we still don't know.
Right.
Well, it's like these people who suddenly know everything about medicine. Suddenly everybody knows about AI. And let's be honest, folks, we don't know the half of it.
No, we don't.
Don't know the half of it.
Now, speaking of AI, it turns out that it's gotten some attention over at Marquette University for their commencement speech this spring. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. It is 6:48. This is Daybreak with Brian and Jamie on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 6:52 right now. We hope that you are having a great start to your morning. Thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Network. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. We're glad you're here. Do you remember if you went to college and you graduated, so two big ifs, do you remember your commencement speaker? Because in reality, does anybody really care about the commencement speaker? Because back when I was graduating, and Jamie, I'm guessing you, there were now it's all celebrities. Now you get big hot shots, you get actors, you get big politicians, maybe you get a former president, they come in, and it's all about headlines. And then they give the same inspiring speech that, you know, your local congressperson would have given if they had been your commencement speaker, but they don't have the hoopla.
Well, one university this year has JoJo Siwa, just putting that out there.
Is that a real college or is it a barber college?
No, it's a real college.
Cosmetology school?
No, it was a real college. Anyway, I digress because this
conversation. No. Well, it is, but not more important than who would invite. And that kind of makes my point, because in the race to have a celebrity, they booked JoJo Siwa. If I had pumped hundreds of thousands of dollars for my child to go to a thing, and this
Harvard
is the other
Business
part of the problem,
School, she gave the speech at Harvard
it.
Business. I'm looking it up. It's a real story.
I know you're looking it up, but I'm telling you to stop it because
okay.
That can't be true.
It is.
Anyway, let's turn our focus closer to home. Really? Yeah, Harvard?
Harvard Business School. Yes.
I have lost all. Who goes there?
You know.
All the people who are going to open, who want to get their doctorate from Trump University are going there.
Exactly.
Wow, Harvard, you have dropped. I can't express the amount of disappointment I now have in the Harvard Business School.
It makes you really think about the graduates coming out of this class, doesn't it?
It would be like if MIT had some kid who just counted popsicle sticks that fell on the floor. Not Rain Man style, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, Marquette. You know Marquette University. Lovely. Well, they announced that Chris Duffy would be their commencement speaker. And if you don't know who Chris Duffy is, I didn't either. He's an AI expert. He's also a graduate of Marquette. Well, oh my goodness. This has some Marquette students in an uproar because students have nothing better to do when they're not studying for finals than get in an uproar. And I listen, they have a right to have an uproar, but they're not happy for a number of reasons.
Well, Duffy works on artificial intelligence strategy at Adobe, and he's spoken widely about emerging technology and leadership. The choice, though, as you said, the students aren't happy. In fact, they say inviting an AI leader conflicts with Marquette's Jesuit mission and human-centered values. Their motto at Marquette is Be the Difference, which is rooted in Jesuit human-centered values, critical thinking, ethics, and even service. Others worry about AI's environmental impact, its effect on creativity, and the shrinking job market graduates are also about to enter. And of course, students were also frustrated that AI tools were discouraged in class, yet now there's an AI executive who's going to be their graduation headliner. Duffy says his work focuses on using AIs to support, not replace, human creativity. Sure it does.
First of all, I spent 4 years with the Jesuits in high school, and a lot of propaganda, but we'll leave that aside. Secondly, AI is here, friends, and the reason you go to college and your parents or you spent a lot of money to get this degree is so you could broaden your horizons and open your mind. AI is not the boogeyman. AI is here. If you want to use and put the Jesuit mission into practice, you need to know about the product. Mm-hmm. You need to know about its potential. You need to know all that to then mold it, going back to what we were talking about in the last segment, so you can mold it to fit those principles. And it can be done.
Right.
But to say that an alum who is very, very successful and a noted expert on this is not fit to talk to you is a closed-minded, boo-hoo, I'm a little baby kind of deal. And that's why people look at progressives or college kids and stuff and say they're not in touch with reality.
Well, in Duffy's defense, he says that his speech is going to be centered about ethical leadership and responsibility and innovation. Yeah. And university officials are standing by this selection. They Good. Note that artificial intelligence is becoming a major part of society and that ethical development aligns with the school's mission. I think this, though, is just a reflection of our uneasiness about AI, because national survey after national survey shows that a good majority of us are increasingly uneasy about how quickly we feel AI is starting to reshape society. But it's not going away, as you mentioned.
No.
So I think at this point in time, Marquette in particular, since that's who we're talking about, not JoJo Siwa over at Harvard Business School, they're preparing students for a world where technology is going to be basically embedded in every part of the of your industry, right? And
yes.
If you're looking at it from that perspective, inviting somebody like Chris Duffy, who works in ethical AI development, I think that's practical. I also think it's necessary. And if the school wouldn't allow you to use AI to do your homework and have it involved in
good,
the class,
because you had
that's
to learn
good. You
your...
have to know how to do stuff on your own.
Right. Yes, it's a tool. Do you even remember who Parker's the most recent graduate? Who gave your commencement address, Parker?
I had to look it up. It was it was Julie Anding, who was on like the Harley Davidson board for 25 years or so.
Did you guys go into an uproar?
I had zero idea who she was, and I still don't really know who she is after reading about her.
Perfect.
That's
Jamie,
fair.
Do you remember?
It was a state-level representative who graduated from my alma mater, Dakota Wesleyan, in Mitchell, South Dakota. I do not remember the speech. I do not remember any of the contents, but I do remember it was a representative. That's all I got.
And I remember mine only because I worked in at the SIU TV station and radio station, and she was always on. Virginia Marmaduke was the grand dame of Illinois journalism for a long time. So she spoke. I couldn't tell you what she said, not one word. And the year before Molly graduated at Tulane, there was a huge uproar from parents because they were going to have Hoda Kotb be the commencement speaker, who grew up in New Orleans.
Yes.
And who has accomplished a lot. Oh, parents were not. Other places are getting presidents, and we get the Hoda Kotb. And if I were
kidding?
Hoda, I would have left. But she gave the address. Good for her.
I would have been super excited to hear Hoda.
I would have loved it.
That's awesome. It is 6:59 right now. Pete Hegseth. Well, he's just making news all over the place because we're going to talk about him again and his ties to Mark Kelly. You're listening to Daybreak. It's Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. This is the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.